Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
On to the most hyped heavyweight fight in years now, Wilder Fury 2, the rematch. And this time, Tyson Fury was able to do what he couldn't do the first time around. Fury knocked down Wilder with a right in the third. Then two rounds later, did it again, this time with a body shot. And finally, in the seventh, Wilder's corner had enough, throwing in the towel for Fury. An unbelievable comeback story ends in victory. Nick, how surprised were you with how this fight went down?
Well, listen, I was shocked. It cost me a bucket of money. I was watching, I had bet the fight before I left the country through with my friends at Fox Bet. I then, of course, while I'm out of the country at a nice little international gambling establishment, the fight's about to come on, I bet the fight again because I thought Deontay Wilder was going to win. And not only did he not win, Greg, he got annihilated. That fight was over in the third round. He was out on his feet in the third round. And then from that moment forward, you had to start to be pretty concerned for him. There was a moment in the fifth round where I said to my wife, who was watching with me from the spot where we were, that this, if he doesn't get knocked out, and I didn't think he was going to get knocked out because Wilder's so tough and he kept getting up, this is the type of fight that changes the trajectory of your career, does damage to you that you do not recover from. And it went on a couple rounds after that. I thought what Fury did, and listen, I am not an X's and O's boxing analyst, but I love the sport. I've always loved the sport. We don't talk about it because there's not often fights quite this big. What Fury was able to do in identifying clearly before the fight where Wilder's defensive weaknesses were, exploiting them. Fury switching up his stance a few times mid-fight, then switching back. Wilder had no answer and was just, I thought Fury won every single round. You could argue maybe Wilder barely won the second, but probably not. It was a total thorough domination that the only critique I would have had is it maybe should have ended earlier. That the corner maybe should have thrown the towel earlier, it should have been called earlier, because Wilder was done by the middle of the fourth round without any question.
I was thoroughly surprised. And I was more surprised from a standpoint of this. Boxers, I'll just look at Wilder. Wilder, he's a puncher. Fury, he's a boxer. And we saw him box. And we saw Wilder try to punch a boxer. And what I didn't like is when you possess so much skill, so much talent, so much power in your punches, it forces you to rely on that more than it does anything else. And what I mean by that is I didn't see Wilder come out wanting to be a boxer and honing his craft. And that's, as an athlete, as a competitor, you know, and Fury knew it. Going into it, we saw him pregame, we saw him leading up to the fight. He was so comfortable and so relaxed because he knew, dude, I got it. There's so much that I've studied and watched that I am going to outbox this guy.
Which is amazing because, I mean, obviously neither of these guys had ever lost. It's not like he was fighting a guy who someone else had exploited these weaknesses against. The only time Wilder had never hadn't won a fight was the one against Fury the last time.
Yes.
When Wilder, I thought, knocked him out cold in the 12th round, and then Fury did the Undertaker at the six count and somehow got up to salvage the draw.
All right, we saw the match. We saw the rematch. How badly do you want to see these guys do this again for a third time?
I'm really curious what you think about this, Greg, because going into this fight, I would have said there is nothing that could happen that would not make me want to see part three. That if one of them gets knocked out in the first round, if it goes, no matter what, I'm going to want to see part three because nobody could be up 2-0 because the first one was a draw. So we would need a part three. Man, I watched this and I said, I'll watch it if there is, but I don't think there's a need for
a
third.
No, see it.
And Wilder, I know, can activate an option to get a third, to get a rematch. It was in the fight contract. Man, if I'm Wilder's people, you got to find a reason to not do it, an explanation. And by the way, I do not like Tyson Fury at all, and I adore Deontay Wilder. His story is amazing. I sat with him and talked with him 6 years ago at the Super Bowl, right when he had, yeah, it was 6 years ago. It was a long time ago, when he was kind of coming on it. He is an, I love him. But he can't, this is, the what we saw Saturday night, there is no reason to believe it would go differently if they fought 10 times. They, unless you hit him, it's heavyweight boxing, so you can always hit him with one. But, I mean, to me, Fury was that dominant that I don't know that we even need a third one.
Yeah, I'm with you. He was so tactical, Fury was, to where you don't believe that there's anything that Deontay Wilder could do to surmount that, to trump it. And for me, it's Wilder knew it. Wilder knew it the entire fight, specifically from the second round on. It was like, oh, shoot, I have to get a paw on this guy or I'm not going to be able to beat him. Mm-hmm. And you could see it. You could sense it. And once Fury senses it, once your competitor senses it, it's over.
It's over.
And I truly believe, like you, there is no need for a third fight.
I remember when the Niners played the Packers in the regular season, and I came here on the show the next day and I said, the Packers can make the Super Bowl, but they need someone to beat the Niners for them. I then foolishly picked the Packers to beat the Niners because I'm an idiot. But there was just what one
he
team was good at.
To beat.
So what? Listen, for Wilder, Fury Joshua is now the fight everyone wants to see.
Yep.
It would be the biggest fight in the history of British boxing. Would unify all the belts. What Wilder in his heart, whether he'll say it or not, is hoping Anthony Joshua win that fight, and then Wilder takes on Joshua, and maybe that's stylistically different. I don't see how Wilder can overcome what just happened on Saturday against Fury. Have you ever had muscle pain? I'm talking stop you in your tracks, I'll never work out again, what am I going to do kind of pain. This is the kind of pain Dr. Jason Wersland was in when he created Theragun, the deep muscle massager that's unlike anything you've ever felt. Theragun isn't a cheap massager that just tickles your muscles. Their handheld percussive device uses a scientifically calibrated combination of speed, depth, and power to release the deepest muscle tension. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just everyday life, you can use Theragun. Theragun is the preferred muscle recovery device for over 250 professional sports teams and used by hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers around the world to reduce pain, increase range of motion, and soothe aching muscles. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to Theragun.com/cadence. For a limited time, our listeners get a free charging stand with a purchase, a $79 value. That's Theragun.com/cadence, Theragun.com/cadence.
Let's talk NFL. Greg, we're talking about your former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. At 36 years old, you're not going to find too many people who think his window is closed. Don't forget, though, Brett Favre was even younger than Aaron Rodgers when the team drafted Rodgers. Now, according to Green Bay's GM, the team will not rule out taking a quarterback in the first round of this year's draft. Greg, you were there for the transition from Favre to Rodgers. Do you think the Packers should already be thinking about life after Aaron Rodgers?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There is no other position in football that you're not thinking life after that individual. Whether it's receiver, whether it's defensive end, whether it's linebacker, whether it's offensive lineman.
But it's Aaron Rodgers.
He's a guy that has gone down in the past, and we've seen the play of the Green Bay Packers non-existence offensively. So, yes, if you're trying to establish winning ways and you talk about the next man up philosophy, which every team in sport talks about, you have to do this. He was a guy that was drafted. Obviously, he wanted to be drafted higher. He fell down to the Green Bay Packers. Brett Favre was still there. He had to wait his turn, but he had an opportunity to learn from a guy, whether they had a great relationship or not. You were in the room. You saw him work. You saw how things were operated. You were able to draw those experiences and add a little bit to your game, which helped him become the player that we now see. I wouldn't see why they would even could not consider looking at getting a guy when Aaron Rodgers can still show a young guy the ropes, not so much tutor him or whatever, but you have an opportunity to watch him while he's still in his prime, maybe sliding down that slide.
Favre's last year in Green Bay, you guys, maybe it was last year, second last year, you remind me. You guys had one more great season after you drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
You guys, though, with Favre. I think it was his last year. His last year there. That's what I thought. You guys made a conference championship game?
Yep.
Okay. Did Aaron help you guys that season? No.
No.
He didn't play because Favre never missed anything.
Exactly.
Favre never missed time. You think a star defensive end in his third year, which is what that pick would have been at that point in time, would have helped you guys? You think you guys could have been a little bit better if in that season if you hadn't drafted Aaron Rodgers? That season. That then, right then and there.
Yeah, I see where you're going, Nick, but you can't play the game that way.
Well, I understand that.
Because if Brett would have gone down, we would have had Aaron.
Of course, and it ended up working out great because Aaron Rodgers is Aaron bleeping Rodgers, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and he won a Super Bowl. But Aaron Rodgers, the next one, is not going to be available in the late first round of this year's draft. If Tua Tagovailoa somehow falls and he's available like Aaron was, a guy who could have gone number one overall and instead falls to the 20s, then sure, Green Bay, do it. And Brian Gutekunst, I understand you saying this because you want a team to maybe trade with you or trade to try to feel, oh, we got to take a quarterback. You don't want to give out accurate information. But if the Packers draft a quarterback this year, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I am as angry as I've ever been. And I know Favre was probably pretty upset about it when they did it then, but at least with Brett, you had seen not only the play trail off, but you also wondered, how close are we? Like, are we a championship team still right now? Packers made the conference championship game 2 months ago. They wouldn't be drafting a quarterback as Aaron Rodgers' insurance in the first round. They would be drafting a quarterback as Aaron Rodgers' ultimate replacement in the first round. You're too close with too few title chance years left. And the fact of the matter probably is this. Packers about to be in the quarterback wilderness for the first time in 30 years.
So when would you suggest? Because when you look at teams who want to build and create winning ways, you can't wait until the window is completely closed to then now make a move. You have to make a move during.
Yeah, but usually, but I feel like because it's the Packers and because they're one of the few teams that has gone from Hall of Famer straight to Hall of Famer, we act like that is a realistic path to do it again. No matter when they draft their next quarterback, they're almost assuredly going to be in the wilderness for some time. If somehow let's say Rodgers got hurt this year and they were sitting there at number two or three. It's like, man, we can get a star blue chipper, even though we have time left with Aaron, then fine, so be it. But the level of quarterbacks that we're talking about, Justin Herbert, if he's there, to draft him with the hope being he doesn't play at all for at least 2 or 3 years while Aaron is still playing, and to, even if it's just by 2 or 3%, lessen your chance of winning a championship before Aaron Rodgers is done, to me would be crazy.
But we're also in this age now where we don't know if we have the next Breeze or the next Tom Brady that are going to play into their 40s. Look what's going on with the Saints right now and with the Patriots. The Patriots had someone. He was waiting. You know, and Brady never stopped playing. And for the last 2 years or so, the Saints had Teddy Bridgewater ready to go. We still don't know what the situation is going to be there. I think it's a tough situation when you don't know now when these guys are playing into their 40s. How much time do you really have left unless they're injury prone?
Yeah, and what that time you have left looks like. I think that is what everybody's going to have to focus on. Like, if you're a team and you're assessing your talent and Aaron Rodgers is a part of that talent, you have to be realistic and you have to look at the things that you sometimes want to overlook and say, you know what, is he starting to look a little different? Should we start preparing? Because every other position, as I mentioned, you do that for. If there is a running back that you feel like the wear and tear is surmounting, you start to consider other options.
But you don't. But the Packers just made it very clear. They believe Rodgers got a bunch of prime years left. They just made him the highest paid player ever, right? They did that a year ago. you can't do that and then a year later, when you make the conference championship game, say, all right, we are now hedging our bets. You are all in on the Aaron Rodgers era. And I don't think you draft an injury replacement, a true backup quarterback in the first round. I think you draft your next starting quarterback in the first round. So if the story was the Packers might target a quarterback with their third round pick so they're not totally screwed if Aaron gets hurt, then I'm with you. Sure. The first round pick's too valuable. The first round pick is a player who, if you draft the right guy, can help you win a championship now, this year. It's the NFL, not the NBA. Rookies help you immediately if you get the right guy at the right position.
I agree and disagree at the same time because I was a second round draft pick and I was able to help that team right.
Agreed. Right. That speaks to my point that you can get high. There's going to be 60 awesome players in this draft that will help teams in the 2020 season. The Packers would be passing on someone to help them this year in order to look to a future that's murky once Aaron's gone.
Do you remember how well Ben Roethlisberger took it when, what's his name, Mason?
Mason Rudolph.
When Mason Rudolph was drafted?
Yeah.
Not so
great.
Not. Greg, a little in or out?
A little in or out.
Here we go. Dez Bryant has been working hard at making his NFL comeback. The latest video shows him catching passes from none other than the Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes. Greg Jennings, you in or out on the Chiefs adding Dez to their already potent offense?
I'm definitely out.
What you saw?
I'm out from what I saw. I mean, I love that they're training. They're two Texas guys getting together. Working out in the offseason, that's what guys do. But I'm out because he just doesn't fit them schematically. When you look at, they're built on speed. Their possession guy, if there was a possession guy, is their tight end, Travis Kelce. They don't need another guy like that.
No, I'm out.
I knew you were going to be in.
No, I'm out.
I knew you were in.
Why would I be in? Desperate. No, the Chiefs have some needs now. Need some corners, need some linebackers. They do not need. I don't think Dez Bryant's better than DeMarcus Robinson, who's their fourth receiver.
I agree.
Even if they lose Sammy Watkins, this is nice of Patrick Mahomes, a couple Texas guys helping each other out. No problem. You work out with them all you want. But this is a workout, not a tryout. No. I'm out. Not what the defending. And by the way, Jenna, for the rest of the summer, or once we get in the summer,
will
you just the defending Super Bowl champion, okay. Kansas City Chiefs. If they come up, I just feel like they've earned it.
Got
the
it.
Honorific. It's been
Have
50
they earned
years.
It?
They've earned it.
They've
Hold
earned
on.
It.
Defending.
The defending
Super
Bowl champs at all times.
On to Big Ben now. He got some great news on Friday when doctors cleared him to start throwing the ball. Wow. Nick, you in or out on the Steelers being a playoff team with a healthy Ben Roethlisberger?
He's healthy. I'm out. Listen, the Ravens are the best team in that division, even if they're not going to be 14-2 again. And I love Tomlin. I love the defense. There's a lot to like about Pittsburgh, but I don't think the AFC North is going to be a three playoff team division. And Jenna, I know this will shock you, but I'm expecting big things from the Cleveland Browns this year. So because of that, I have to be out on Pittsburgh being the third and final playoff team from that division.
Yeah, and because of that, I'm in because Cleveland has to find a way and learn how to win. I don't think that they are there yet. And when you add Big Ben and you look at the job that Mike Tomlin did this year, I like where this team is. Defensively, they are one of the best teams in the league. Offensively, you didn't have your guy at quarterback to kind of right that ship. I like it with Ben, healthy Ben, I like this team as a playoff team.
Okay. The NFL Combine is officially underway, and according to an NFL.com report, Joe Burrow is still the favorite to go number one, but it is too soon to call it a lock. Greg, you in or out on Joe Burrow living up to the hype as the projected number one overall pick?
You know what? I am. I'm in. And one of the reasons why I'm in, because I watched this guy in the national championship game. I watched that run. And there are certain things about guys, and everyone wants to talk about him not being as good as Tua.
Right.
And he hears all that. But he was hearing that before, and he had something to prove. He's going to continue have something to prove, and I think he will continue to get better. He will be okay.
This one hurts my heart, but I'm out. Listen, I spent a good deal of time a few days for the Super Bowl with Joe Burrow. He watches the show. We talked a lot of basketball. I was honest with him about my concerns of him as the number one overall pick. He's an incredibly nice young man, incredibly confident, handles himself beautifully. I think number one overall pick, you expect superstar. I think Joe Burrow is going to be a solid NFL quarterback. I think if you had the seventh overall pick, you'd be thrilled with him. I think at number one, whomever takes him is going to wish they had taken Tua. And because he's in a draft with Tua, who I do think is going to be a superstar, I don't think he lives up to the hype, so I'm out.
You're
but
out.
Joey, I hope you prove me wrong, man. And you're, as I said then, welcome on the show. Call me an idiot if you'd like. He didn't call me an idiot then, but you're welcome to.
Tyson Fury beat Deontay Wilder Saturday night in a fight that lived up to the hype. This it also gave us this moment, one of the strangest things we've ever seen in the ring. Fury appearing to lick blood off of Wilder.
That's ear blood, too.
It's nothing about
that's ear blood.
Is kosher. Greg, you in or out on this?
Probably quite literally not kosher.
Like,
not just figuratively.
I'm actually in on this.
What?
I'm in on this because everything about Tyson Fury in that fight, leading up to that fight, he said that he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. Tactically, he did it. Mm-hmm. Right there, what we see, he said, literally, I want to taste blood.
So he did it.
And he's showing us, I don't know if he literally did it, but he made it appear that he did.
Greg, actually, believe it or not, I'm in as well.
Oh.
For different reasons, though. Listen, Tyson Fury is almost impossible to root for. So he has to just go full black hat. He's got to go full bad guy. So things like this only enhance the brand, so to speak.
For sure.
We're going to have the Anthony Joshua, who everyone's going to root for, or Deontay Wilder if they end up fighting a third time. You need Fury to totally embrace this persona. That's what boxing always needs, is a villain. Tyson Fury is a perfect villain, and doing stuff like this helps. He didn't bite him, which is, we've seen, you know, in boxing before. You get close like that, open mouth by the ear. And so I'm in. I think
never thought I'd hear you say open mouth by the ear on our show. Never. Well,
you know what?
What?
I'm a man of all seasons.
Yeah, you
and
are.
And it happened to apply at
anyway,
the moment.
Nobody asked,
I'm
but I'm out.
I really like that you said it wasn't kosher, Jenna.
Well.
Because it wasn't.
Oftentimes, I mean what I say.
That's not kosher?
Oftentimes. No. That's not kosher.
Why would that not be kosher?
I'm going to tell you in the commercial break. Coming up, LeBron process. And the Lakers barely escaped the onslaught of Jason Tatum. To be discussed next on First Things First. Oh, we're going to close in on this. Okay.
In that grapple, Jenna, closer. Who has the leverage?
Probably Fury. All right, moving on to the Lakers and the Celtics from yesterday. LeBron James hit a clutch jumper in the closing seconds to help L.A. get the win. Just part of a great all-around game from the King, finished 29-8-9. After the game, LeBron went to the Gram to post, quote, absolutely live for these moments. Nick, can LeBron James continue to be the closer for the Lakers?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, I mean, listen, the guy, if at this point you don't believe LeBron's a closer, or, you know, one of, if not the best closer ever, then you're just never going to believe it. I mean, we saw the guy, Vinny, you saw it against your beloved Detroit Pistons when he was 22 years old.
Beloved.
I just give you a hard time because you're from Detroit. When he was 22 years old, the 48 special, score 25 straight to beat a team that had been the crowning team of the conference. We saw him, that was in 2007, right? We saw him in 2018. 11 years later, hit two game winners, buzzer beaters, in the same playoff run. And by the way, one series against the one seed of the conference, the other series in a seven game war where they needed every single bucket in all those wins. And if people still, I remember when he hit the second game winner of that playoff run, the question was, has LeBron James finally proved he's clutch? It's like, okay. I mean, another piece of evidence. He's hit more of these shots than anyone ever. He's hit more of these shots in the playoffs than anyone ever. He's the greatest Game 7 playoff performer this side of Bill Russell ever, statistically. We saw him hit a jumper to win a Game 7 of the NBA Finals. We saw him hit a free throw to clinch a Game 7 of an NBA Finals. And we saw him put together the greatest three-game stretch in basketball history, all in elimination games against the greatest regular season team in NBA history. So, yeah, is he the closer for the Lakers? He'd be the closer on any team at any era. So, yes, of course he can be the closer for the Lakers. Doesn't always mean he's the closer by shooting it. Sometimes he passes it like he did to George Hill game one of the NBA Finals a couple years ago. That didn't end great when he missed the free throw. But, yeah, of course he's the closer. Of course.
There's a lot of variance in LeBron being this great
closer in the way that there aren't for the other quote-unquote great closers in basketball. You talked about that George Hill play. You don't put that play in someone else's hands with the game that he was having at that point in game one of the NBA Finals.
You don't get a guy a layup?
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't. You don't.
Okay.
You have 6'3 on you. You bully him, and you do exactly what he had been doing to that point, which I thought almost was LeBron's greatest game that he had ever played.
Might be.
You don't put it in someone else's hands. I'm not going to quibble with you because I feel like that's splitting hairs, and that almost comes across as being a hater, which I'm not. But I will say that can he be that level of closer at this stage of his career and carry them 3 months to a championship? I would not want to bet on that because the wear and tear on his body and the responsibilities that he's going to have. When you're going to have to guard guys for two halves, 30-plus minutes a game, you're going to guard Paul George, guarding Kawhi Leonard, and then have to close at the end of games, to me, I feel like that is too much to put on a guy. Not saying LeBron James can't handle it, but 17 years, 35 years old.
Isn't he doing that now?
But it's a difference in doing it in the regular season compared to doing it in the playoffs where 82 games are one-game exhibitions, but essentially. Seven-game playoff series where the margins are a whole lot more thin, and you cannot have that variance
then
anymore.
There are no closers. If he can't do it, then no one can do it.
I didn't say he couldn't do it. I'm saying, do you want LeBron having to have all of that responsibility and then close late in games?
I guess in theory, then no one should have all the responsibility. Like, who are these guys where there's not the variance? So Kevin Durant, we obviously don't hold the injury against him. But I'm old enough to remember his second to last year in Golden State, the two games in the playoffs against Houston, where he was nowhere to be found on the final possession and took criticism for it. I'm also old enough to remember with KD the beginning of the series against the Clippers last year before he went on that amazing run. KD is a great closer. He's hit two jump shots to win finals games, both over LeBron. But he had weak moments, right? Giannis has not had these great closing moments in the postseason. Steph has had a lot more bad ones than good ones. Harden has had a lot more bad ones than good ones. Kawhi, your best player in the league last year, closed the NBA Finals. Closed the final two games, one in which they lost, one in which they escaped, going 16 of 40 from the field and 3 of 12 from 3. His two worst games of the Finals were games 5 and 6. So who is the best closer?
Wait. Did he just mention Kawhi Leonard and talk about closing and not mention the series clinching shot from the corner?
Accurate,
but not complete.
No, he did. In round two, he hit the game winner in game 7.
And here's what I'm saying. If we're talking about LeBron being the greatest closer ever, one of the greatest closers ever, here's what I will say when the air is thin. When you're saying that he's the greatest player ever, greatest closer ever, here's a counter about me saying that you don't want him to have all of this extra weight on him because of the advanced years and because of his body. Magic Johnson, great closer. Didn't have to worry about defending anybody, really, because of the team around him. Michael Jordan, greatest closer ever, greatest player ever. Later years, he had Scottie Pippen as someone who could guard the Reggie Millers, the Penny Hardaways. No, Michael was guarding Clyde Drexler. Michael was guarding his position. Don't do that. Scotty wasn't ready.
Okay.
What I'm saying is Michael in later years had someone at a comparable position who could take on a load to where he only had to do it the last 6 minutes
of the
game.
Okay, but just real quick.
If you're asking LeBron to do this for 35 minutes a night, 3 or 4 playoff rounds, you're asking for him to run out of gas.
It's going to be 42 minutes a night, and he's never run out of gas before. But I'm just curious.
He never run out of gas before?
No.
Okay.
To be fair, he had the 2011 Finals, and if you think that was exhaustion, I'll take it. I'd love to call that
exhaustion. No, that was just choking.
Yes, correct. But I'm just curious, instead of history, because I shouldn't have brought that up, the history comment. Who's the best closer in the NBA today? Today.
Right now?
Right now.
The guy who led his team last June. Not the guy who didn't make the playoffs last year.
So say it. I want you to just say it on television. Who is the best closer in the NBA today? We have the date of the show right there. It's February 24th, 2020.
Bring the camera here.
Yeah.
Bring the camera here. Kawhi Leonard is the best closer in basketball.
Okay.
Today is February 24th, 2020. Kawhi Leonard led his team past the Golden State Warriors in the previous NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard, since he started playing basketball, since Kawhi Leonard has become an elite player, has won 2 championship rings and 2 NBA Finals MVPs to LeBron James's 1. So if we're going to talk about who's done it more recently, more better, you can honestly make the case that Kawhi Leonard is better at closing than LeBron.
Okay, I'm glad you made that case. That is thrilling. And I cannot wait to tweet it back to you.
No further questions, Your Honor.
I cannot wait.
Rest this case.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.